You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Mego and Sean here filling in for the Greg Hill Show. 2 hours down, two to go, Mego, on this 4th of July Friday edition of the program. Happy 4th of July to everybody out there. I hope you're enjoying it. Being safe, be responsible, but enjoy the day. Let's go to Ben in Maine, wants to talk Sox. Go ahead, Ben.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Happy 4th.
Same to you.
Hey, first thing, just go back to the drinking real quick. If you want to feel great after having your binge drinking or Mego, you drink too much, go to your doctor, get some Phenergan. I happened across this by accident. That stuff is amazing. I took it after getting wrecked one night, and within an hour, I felt like I was brand new. It was crazy.
Interesting. So, okay.
Phenergan. Yeah. Highly recommend it. This is Sox here. I mean, you guys are always talking about the nerds trying to figure out the stats and everything on it when it comes to making trades and all that other crap. I don't buy into that anymore. This is very simple for me. This comes down to math. People go watch a crappy team in Boston, and that ownership group is making money. Until it hits their pocketbook, until they get to the point that they are not making money, then and only then will they make a change. So, like, I'm no longer holding out hope that they're going to make some deal for a Juan Soto or somebody else. I think they kick the tires on that just to keep the fan base interested, just to make it look like they're going to do it, but they're not. They're done with that. We got 4 World Series championships. They're still making money hand over fist, and that's the model they're going to use. Until they start losing money, we're never going to see anything positive.
All right, Ben, thanks for the call. Mego, do you agree?
Well, first of all, I did Google Phenergan. Apparently, it's an antihistamine, so it's used for allergy symptoms.
Huh.
But it's also effective in preventing and treating nausea and vomiting. So that probably is where the hangover part comes in. It does cause drowsiness, like many antihistamines, like if you take Benadryl.
So you take it, go to sleep, wake up, you feel 100 bucks.
Well, it makes you feel less nauseated, you fall asleep, and then you wake up and you're brand new. Wow. Shout out to the text line who said about day drinking, Mego, that happened to my wife and I yesterday at the dive at the Greg Hill Road Show. We drank all morning, napped at 4, and woke up at 6:30 hungover.
I'm glad they had fun at the road show.
Yeah, absolutely. And as long as you're safe, like, yeah. Whatever. Do what you want to do.
100%.
But it couldn't be me. I'd be in rough shape, man. I'd be in rough shape drinking that early.
But to Ben's Sox point, do you agree with him that until the ownership's pockets are affected, Red Sox won't be changing the way in which they do business anytime soon?
It seems like you can't get away from the obviousness of they've changed the way that they've done business since 2018.
Sure.
I think that going all in on the payroll and winning in 2018 was kind of like the last gasp for this ownership group operating that way. I don't know that we're ever going to see them spend again like that, at least just on payroll. Now, they might tell you that they're making other upgrades to the stadium, upgrades to the fan experience, upgrades around the stadium, like with Fenway Corners. But when it comes to actually paying for baseball players, I agree. It's hard to see them going back to that philosophy. I don't know. I just don't think that they're going to feel it, though. Like, I
they're
think
never going to feel it.
Fenway's such a destination for baseball fans and an experience in itself that they're going to continue relying on that. And if you were at any of the games against Cincinnati, there would seem like there were tons of Reds fans there. And that's become more and more common that the visiting fans are going to overrun the park.
Yeah, like for example, my fiance and I have a friend coming in from London this coming week. And one of the few things she wants to do while she's in the city is go to a Red Sox game at Fenway Park, because she's only ever been here like during the winter. And so she's never been here during the summer when the Sox are playing. And so she's like, all I want to do is go to Fenway Park.
And sing Sweet Caroline.
Oh, yeah. When
no
they're
matter
losing
what
8-4.
The score is.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what it is.
And people from all over the world want to come and see Fenway Park just because of how historic it is. I do think that they are going to spend. They're never going to spend like the Dodgers, I don't think, ever again. But I do think they're willing to spend some money. I mean, you saw it with the Bregman deal. You saw it with the Crochet extension. Like, I think they're going to spend big money occasionally. But you're right. They're never going to spend like drunken sailors.
But
that's just not who they are.
Here's something scary when you cite the Bregman spending. Because we know that deal has a bunch of outs in it. And that they're seemingly trying to extend Bregman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Jim Bowden from The Athletic did a survey with more than 40 executives around MLB asking who the best players will be that will be dealt before or at the trade deadline. Split the categories into starters, relievers, and position players. When it came to relief pitchers, Boston's closer, Aroldis Chapman, was number one on the list.
That makes
sense. That makes sense.
He has been awesome.
He's 37. He's on a 1-year deal.
Yep.
So it's an expiring deal. Makes a lot of sense that's a piece
for
that
a playoff team, a competitive team. That's exactly the kind of player you want, because again, like you said, expiring contract, and he's just going to be here for the season to try and help you win baseball games.
This is where it gets a little scarier.
Uh-oh.
Bowden writes, this was another shocking name to me, but some execs believe the Red Sox could move on from Bregman at the trade deadline if they can't extend him by then. Bregman and his agent Scott Boras have told the Red Sox they are open to signing a long-term extension now. But if the two sides can't work out a deal, don't be surprised if Boston trades him to either the Tigers or the Mariners at the trade deadline.
So the Tigers make sense because that was one of the other teams in the Bregman sweepstakes, and they're like one of the best teams in baseball. That makes sense. I get it. But at the same time, like I don't understand why they are trading Bregman. They can't.
They can't.
If you seriously plan on trading Rafael Devers because he got pissed at you that you made him move positions for Alex Bregman, and then go and trade Alex Bregman, what was the point of all this in the first place?
Yeah, let me spell out what an S show this would look like for the Red Sox, okay?
It would be an unmitigated disaster.
According to reporting from Sean McAdam and others very much in the loop, Chris Cotillo, all the insiders. So you start out the offseason. Raffy gets wind of rumors/reports that the Red Sox are interested in Alex Bregman, who plays third base, which is Raffy's position. They allegedly tell Raffy, don't worry about that. That's just media smoke. That's just rumors.
That's nothing.
And Raffy says, okay. And then they sign Bregman. Woo! Like, hold the big press conference down at spring training. Cora's excited. Breslow's excited. Everybody's excited. And then Raffy, of course, says, third base is his position. He's not going to move to DH. He moves to DH, and then Tristan Casas goes down. Well, Bregman goes out. He says he's not going back to third base. Tristan Casas goes down. He says he's not going to first base either. And you have the two meetings with John Henry, the owner, one-on-one.
He flies to Kansas City to
Raffy
have the meeting.
Raffy still won't move positions, so they trade Raffy. And then Bregman comes back from the IL. Your third baseman, the guy that you basically gave up Raffy Devers for.
Yep.
Because your relationship with Devers disintegrated to the point that you say you had to move him to San Francisco for a bag of baseballs. And then you move on for Bregman too? You would lose both of them.
Yeah.
That is insane.
It's so
that
dumb.
You would look like the dumbest baseball club in baseball.
Which is
you can't do it.
Yeah, they cannot trade Alex Bregman. They physically cannot do it. And I understand why other execs believe, though, that he could be available? Like, to me, this list, more than anything, indicates that executives across the league don't take the Red Sox seriously as buyers. Like, they expect them to be sellers, regardless of what their record is at the deadline. With Duran, Willy Abreu, and Alex Bregman all being on the list for position players, Aroldis Chapman being number one in terms of relievers, like, that to me indicates that around the league, everybody expects the Red Sox to be sellers and not buyers at the deadline, regardless of what the record is.
I think that's fair. I think that's fair, but it just is... I'm worried that this report is out there that executives think that Bregman might actually be available, because to me, that would not just indicate you give up on this team this year, but you're giving up on future teams as well. I mean, this is one of the only good things you did in the offseason. Like, I was okay with their offseason. Garrett Crochet and Alex Bregman were the big ticket items. And other than that, there hasn't been a whole lot that has knocked your socks off. They brought up Christian Campbell seemingly for contract reasons, and they had to send him back down.
Yep.
Like, there's just not a lot to hang your hat on other than those two, and now you might be losing one after losing Rafael Devers.
617-779-7937. Let's go to JP in North Providence. What's up, JP?
Sean and BST Beauty, happy 4th of July.
Thank you,
Jones,
JP.
Be careful. You're welcome, Mago. Jones, be careful today. Mago, you know why.
Yes.
two quick points, Mago. First, on F1 racing, thanks to Mago, you just got me new brakes, new shocks, and I'm picking up a nice set of used golf clubs today. I went with the boys over to Twin River to bet, and I forgot who you said to pick for
I think you must be thinking
F1.
Of somebody else. I don't do F1, JP. I don't do
you
betting
don't?
Stuff. I don't. You may be thinking a friend of mine, though.
No
worries.
Well, I just blew that. Well, let's go to Plan B then. Plan B was embarrassing drinking story. This past St. Patty's Day, I'm up at the St. James in Essex with my girlfriend, and everybody's banging Guinness Stouts and Dock Ales and all that stuff.
Guinness is great.
And I point to the menu and I go up that, and she goes, oh, are you getting your usual Prosecco? And everybody looks at me because I'm the only guy drinking Prosecco. Guy looks at me and said, that's a little light, isn't it? I said, well, yeah. I want to make sure I make it home, so give me a shot of tequila. Banged it down in front of him and never said a word to me the rest of the day.
Hey, have a good one, JP. I got to tell you, I love Prosecco.
I love Prosecco, too.
I am such a hashtag bubbly bitch. Like, I love, like, champagne, Prosecco. Oh, God. I could drink it all day.
Me, too. I know some people, like, really don't like it because they think it'll give them a headache or it's too sugary or whatever.
No.
I love all sparkling wines.
I'm so with you.
I mean, I'd probably draw the line at, you know, like the really, really cheap stuff that is just, you feel like you get a headache within 2 minutes of drinking it, but I love a sparkling wine.
Oh, so good.
Just even a kind, they used to have, I don't know if Trader Joe's still sells it, but they used to have some bottle that was like $8 and it just had like a very little bit of where you have like a little bit of bubbly, like effervescence.
Effervescence?
Effervescence! There we go.
You're welcome.
I was like,
you.
It's on the tip of my tongue. I don't know how to
You were
pronounce
close.
It.
You wanted to say evergreen. You're like, that's
no,
not right.
No, I knew it was something with essence in it.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely not Evanescence.
I'll look up the bottle for you at the break.
Perfect.
You're going to love it.
Oh, I can't wait. Jim and Lynn wants to talk about the Sox. Go ahead, Jim.
Hey there. How we doing? And I agree. Guinness is good. I heard you whisper that.
Thank
time.
You. Yeah, it's delicious.
You know, I don't blame Cora. I've been a baseball guy my entire life, played college baseball, other things, man. I don't put this all on Cora because he can only coach the plays that he's given. And he's been given really crap with the exception of a couple things. And even the young kids that are coming up, you know, they don't know the basics. And, you know, I don't blame Cora for that. I blame the organization. And, you know, if you want to blame Breslow for it, then it's Breslow. But it was happening long before him.
So you...
They're too much into...
So, Jim, when you hear Craig Breslow say that they need to do a better job with their farm system in preparing these guys, you would tend to agree?
Absolutely, wouldn't you?
Yeah, thanks for the call. I think he's right. Like, I think they definitely need to reassess how they do things in the minors. I also think that they need to not rush guys through the minors into the majors, and I think that would help. But I do think that they need to focus a lot. They're so worried about, like, the driveline hitting approach and making sure that the swing and everything is appropriate that they're not worrying about defensively and just kind of the normal mental parts of playing baseball.
If it was just Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer making that error in the outfield, it would be one thing. But it's the base running from
Campbell
Roman Gonzalez.
In the field.
It's even Trevor Story committing an error. At some point, I do think you need to look at the coaching, not just Cora, but his entire staff, and say, why has it been like this for a couple years? Why do these mistakes just happen on both sides all over the place? Like, why do you have these goof-ups? I think that there is a disconnect, and there's one thing that is the common denominator for the last several seasons. I think at some point it has to be Cora and his staff that you look at. I understand looking at the minor leagues and saying you're not grinding these fundamentals into the younger guys, but it's not just the younger guys, and it's not just guys who come through their system. It's a certain standard that is okay here in the major leagues. It doesn't matter if you came up somewhere else. When you're here, it's okay to goof up like that.
Yeah, and they seem to always compound on each other, too. Like, one mistake leads to another type thing with the Red Sox, and it is infuriating. Chris in Worcester wants to talk about the idea that Bregman could leave at the deadline. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah. A couple of things, real. Thank you for taking my call, and a happy 4th of July to both of you. I love you, Bago. Both of you guys, ladies, gentlemen, sorry. The Bregman thing, if they do that, that's it. I definitely will not watch. I'll give up on Nesson. But the other thing that the last caller talked about, just really, is it Cora's fault, or is it Bailey, the pitching coach? Is it their philosophy? That's what I want to know, because Weiser the other night, and they're 0-2. They were talking about it a lot on the radio. Like, every time they get 0-2 in a count, he gives up a grand slam, or 1-2 in a grand slam, or whatever. They're not pitching right either. I think it's the staff as well. What do you guys think?
Thanks for the call, Chris. I think Andrew Bailey's doing okay. I think a lot, I mean, especially when you look at the starting pitching, like outside of Walker Buehler, all of the starting pitchers have relatively improved. I mean, Garrett Crochet just gets better. Lucas Giolito has continued to improve as he has come back from rehabbing and getting better and getting more starts under his belt. Brian Bayo has been improving. Like, Buehler has just straight up sucked, and I think that may be more a function of Buehler than it is Andrew Bailey. I guess with the bullpen, I understand it a little bit more that maybe it's a Bailey issue, but I just think that, like, this bullpen has just been hot and cold all year. Like, I think that's kind of more their identity than it is.
And
the
a
coaching.
Lot of that is usage, right?
Yeah.
Like, Weissert just looked totally gassed in that outing that he had the other day. So some of it is like just putting the bullpen in a tough position at different points of the season has a lot to do with it. But I to me, the biggest issues right now are the details defensively, base running. I mean, yeah, some of the offensive details I'd add in alongside with base running, like hitting when it matters, getting runs when it matters, stranding guys on third. We haven't even talked about the tipping pitches thing.
No.
Like, I don't have a problem at all with a coach, with a manager seeing a young guy tipping pitches and signaling that right away. But let's not also not pretend like it's not a little bit of an awkward look for Alex Cora.
Sure.
Okay, the guy is known for the signal stuff.
Yeah, but they weren't like banging on a trash can.
No, they just
picked up on it right away.
I do wonder, when you heard Terry Francona after the game say that's what Alex Cora is best at, did you feel like that was a little bit of a shot?
Oh, 100% it was him taking a shot. But he was also pissed off that they lost got smashed.
And nobody likes when you jump on the tipping pitches.
No.
It's not.
And the Red Sox were not coy about it either. They were very open about, oh yeah, he's tipping pitches, we're
gonna mash. Francona said they came out hacking.
Yeah, and because they knew. But like, I mean,
it's the pitcher's fault.
Yeah, that's Terry Francona and his pitcher's fault. You need to resolve that before the game starts instead of allowing a team like the Red Sox, who you know have had a past of sussing this stuff out pretty good, that you should probably take care of that.
I just wonder, like, would you categorize the Red Sox right now, honestly, as a well-managed team?
No.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
They make too many mistakes.
I agree. Yeah, it seems like the biggest regret right now might be that Alex Cora contract extension.
You think that's the biggest regret? I would say Walker Buehler's the biggest regret.
I mean, he sucks, but that's easy to get away from.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to move on from Alex Cora, you now have to pay him to do nothing for 3 years. And if this indicate, or 2 years, and if this team has shown you anything, they don't want to pay anybody to do nothing. That's why they unloaded the entire Rafael Devers contract.
This is true. You have the benefit of the manager's salary not working against the cap for you.
Well, there's no cap in baseball.
I mean luxury.
Yeah,
I keep
guess
calling
that's true.
Every luxury tax yeah. a cap right now. My mind's been in football mode for a little bit.
Oh, speaking of, let's get into some football. Let's do that. 617-779-7937. Mego and Chime here filling in for the Greg Hill Show on a 4th of July Friday edition. But right now, let's get you caught up with what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Here's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. Your Boston Red Sox hitting the road. They're taking on the Nationals today. First pitch, 11:05, right here on the Shaw's and Star Market, WEEI Red Sox Radio Network with Will Fleming and Cooper Boardman on the call. Joe Weil gets you ready for the game with the MassMutual pregame show at 10:05. Wimbledon currently underway across the pond. The John Deere Classic in the PGA. Is headed into day two. Doug Gim, your leader at 9-under, shot a 9-under 62 yesterday in round one. My guy, the professional, Max Homa, one stroke back. So good for him there. Trending Now was brought to you by Cape Cod Lumber. It's never too early to start planning for your new deck and rail system from TimberTech. TimberTech is the number one premium advanced PVC and composite decking that captures the beauty of real wood. Visit CCL in Abington today to see a huge selection of TimberTech products or check us out online at cclco.com. That's what's trending. More Mego and Shime filling in for the Greg Hill Show next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
This summer, Instacart is bringing back your favorites from 1999 with prices from 1999. That means 90s prices on juice pouches that ought to be respected, 90s prices on box mac and cheese, and 90s prices on ham, cheese, and cracker lunches. Enjoy all those throwbacks and more at throwback prices. Only through Instacart. $4.72 maximum discount per $10 of eligible items. Limit one offer per order. Expires 9/5 while supplies last. Discount based on CPI comparison.
and man. Mega with Sean here, filling in for the Greg Hill Show on Friday, the 4th of July. Happy 4th of July to everybody out there. Thanks so much for tuning in, hanging out with us. We're taking you up until 10 a.m. because Red Sox pregame bright and early this morning. Joe Weil going to hop in here about 10:05 for the Mass Mutual pregame show as the Sox get underway at 11:05 from Washington, D.C. against the Nationals early today. I didn't know that they were doing more 11 o'clock baseball games. Normally that's a Marathon Monday type thing, but I'm glad to see they're doing one on the 4th of July. I have to say, honestly,
I didn't even know that if this is a thing that they've done before.
Yeah, it's not normal. At least for the Red Sox, I guess it's not normal, but maybe it is a Nationals thing that I was unaware of. But either way, I like it. I love an early baseball game. But, Mego, it's time to get into a little bit of football. I've been dying to talk about this all day because all I want to do anymore is talk about football because I'm a nerd, and that's okay. But the New England Patriots start camp here shortly, a couple weeks now away from camp and getting ready for the preseason. Mike Vrabel is been kind of the MVP of the offseason for the New England Patriots. They are still thinking of adding or at least keeping an eye on everything around the league, correct? And looking to add. You had brought this to my attention yesterday, throwing out the idea of possibly adding a guy like Terry McLaurin if he somehow shakes free from the Washington Commanders after they acquired Deebo Samuel in the offseason. Here was Vrabel just a few weeks ago talking about monitoring holdouts across the league.
You guys constantly be monitoring all discussions?
I think that we have to. Again, it would go for the ability to acquire good players, good people that feel like it can help us at any position. So, you know, I don't know what those situations are throughout the league, but I'm all for trying to make the roster better any chance that we can.
So that was Mike Vrabel back at the beginning of June 10th. I'm curious your thoughts. Do you believe him when he says that they're monitoring this stuff and they could be interested in guys that end up being holdouts? A guy like Terry McLaurin, TJ Watt has been the big name floating around, and even a guy like Trey Hendrickson for the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, and I'm not going to pretend like I know the situation of every single one of these guys and their teams. I want to speak specifically to McLaurin because my friend Nicole Yang of the Boston Globe wrote this piece in her Patriots notebook the other day. She said, the Patriots still have the most salary cap space in the league with more than $60 million for potential roster moves this summer and into the season. Other teams with considerable room are San Francisco, Detroit, Arizona, and Green Bay. The average annual value, AAV, of McLaurin's deal is $23.2 million and ranks 16th among his position group. In comparison, Pittsburgh's DK Metcalf makes $33 million. Cincinnati's T. Higgins makes $28.75 million, and both inked lucrative extensions this offseason. So McLaurin is likely seeking an AAV closer to that range. If you're looking at the landscape of what's going on or the situation of what's going on between McLaurin and Washington, there's these reports that come out that they're far apart. Mm-hmm. That they're in terms of contract talks, they're not close. I just think that probably has more to do with nobody's talking right now. Like, it is the quietest time of the NFL year overall. A lot of people are on vacation. Yep. It's not just like this week for the 4th of July holiday, but just these couple of weeks between mini camp and training camp is when everything quiets down so much that Drake May gets married and goes to St. Lucia.
Yeah, like, because then you're going to be locked in for 10 months.
Absolutely.
Straight.
And so when I hear that they're far apart or they haven't reached a negotiation point where it seems like there's a new contract imminent, I wouldn't really be worried about that or thinking that Terry McLaurin is readily available or going to ask for a trade until they're in training camp.
Yeah.
So I think there's several more weeks before you can expect something with Terry McLaurin.
Yeah, he's definitely looking for a new contract. He had a career year in terms of touchdowns last year. Had a fifth straight 1,000-yard season.
And he's been underrated his whole career.
Yeah, he's been playing
No offense.
Been playing with crazy numbers of backup quarterbacks.
Yes, he's been playing with a lot of crappy quarterbacks. Now he has a legitimately good one, and they just brought in Deebo Samuel, and he wants to assert himself as the number one for the Washington Commanders. And that makes sense. I get it. And he wants the contract, just like DK Metcalf got with the Steelers this offseason, got traded from Seattle to the Steelers, and then got that lucrative extension. And that's kind of what McLaurin is going to look for. He's going to look for that closer to $30 million a year range.
Do you think he's worth that?
I don't know. I like McLaurin. I don't love him. Like, I don't know if I would pay. Because what was DK Metcalf's contract?
DK is 33 a year.
That's a lot.
That's
man.
Rich.
And
for
T. Higgins. T. Higgins is what? 22.
28. Sorry. 0.75. So he'd be right in the middle in between there at 30.
So I would be okay at that 28-29 number. Once you get closer to DK Metcalf at like 31, 32, 33 a year, that's when I would probably quibble a little bit. And I understand, oh, your shums not your money and you're, you know, pinching pennies over here. And I get that. But like for me, just value-wise, Terry McLaurin's not a $30 million receiver. I don't think he is.
Okay, let's put it this way. If the Commanders, I don't think this would happen, but if we're just talking about the money, if the Commanders cut Terry McLaurin and he's a free agent, mm-hmm. and you can sign him for $30 million a year.
You have to.
And you don't have to give up anything else.
You have
to. Is he a $30 million a year guy then?
Yeah, probably. Just for the New England Patriots, yes, because you just don't have anything else. Like, he becomes...
Well, you have Steph Diggs.
Look
how quickly you look at Steph Diggs that way when Terry McLaurin is a possibility.
But like,
you have nothing.
No, I've said this
all
along.
You're the guy who's defending Steph Diggs' little pink bag on that boat.
Yeah, because if he comes out and performs, it doesn't matter. But the issue is we don't know when and if
love
he's going to be able
to leave him.
No.
The Chris Scheim story.
We just don't know exactly what Steph Diggs is going to be, how healthy he's going to mm-hmm. be, how effective he's going to be. We know Terry McLaurin is a known variable. Like, that's the difference.
Yes.
Terry McLaurin, you know exactly what you're getting. You're going to get about 75 catches for 1,000 yards and about 5 to 10 touchdowns, depending on how
like
successful
the
of season
best thing
he
that you've had in 6 years.
Oh, it's by far the best thing you've had in 6 years. That's why the Patriots, that's why if he ever became available like that, yeah, the Patriots have to pay
but
that.
But you wouldn't give up more. Like, would you sit here today and make a trade for Terry?
Yes.
Plus the $30 million?
Yes.
Why are
if
you stuck
Patriots,
on the cash?
I don't know. Yeah, if you're the Patriots, you would just have to do it. I don't know why I'm thinking like any other NFL team. You're the Patriots. You have to do it. Yes. Yes. The simple answer is yes. You have to, if you have to do what you did with DK Metcalf, give up a third round pick and then pay him $30 million a year, you have to do it.
I think that's pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
I would definitely do a third round pick.
Oh, absolutely do a third round pick. That I'm not quibbling about. Like, Terry McLaurin is worth a third round pick.
What about a second rounder?
Yeah, I would still do it.
Okay. Wow.
So I wouldn't do it for a first rounder.
You would have given up Travion Henderson for DK Metcalf. I mean, for Terry McLaurin. I'm saying, but
if,
like,
if it had been this
that
past
caliber,
year?
That caliber of player.
Well, yeah, but I also expect the Patriots to be better, right? And so if I know I'm adding Terry McLaurin for a second round pick, I don't expect to be picking in the top five of the second round. I expect to be picking further down. And so I'm not getting Travion Henderson necessarily. I'm not getting the guys that just happen to fall out of the first round. I'm going to be getting somebody more in that middle of the second round is kind of my thought.
I would take Terry in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
In a heartbeat. I just don't think he's realistically going to be available.
I don't either. Like, they're not bringing in Deebo Samuel to be their number one receiver. They're bringing in Deebo Samuel to complement Terry McLaurin, and because Deebo just happens to fit what Cliff Kingsbury likes to do with the run after the catch stuff.
Do you care at all that Terry's turning 30?
I think it matters. I don't think it's a huge deal. I just think receivers don't get beat up quite the same way they used to in the NFL, so I think the longevity of their careers might be a little bit bigger and might be a little bit longer. So I'm not too concerned by that. I mean, 5 straight seasons of 1,000 yards kind of speaks for itself, right?
Sure does.
I mean, look at what Mike Evans has done over his career.
It's not like he's just doing that with Josh Allen year
no,
after year.
Exactly. And he hasn't had Jaden Daniels for 5 years. He's had him for one. He's had a bunch of jabronis for half of his career. Like, it's, you know, it is what it is. And he's still been able to put up decent numbers, which is why I'm like, with Drake May, yeah, I want that. I have to have that.
So what about T.J. Watt? I haven't been following that as closely.
Yeah, I'm so into T.J. Watt. I would do that in a
heartbeat. What's going on there?
So it seems like the number, at least around the league currently, is a first and a third round pick for T.J. Watt, which is a lot.
That's
for a guy in his 30s, but he's also arguably one of the best pass rushers in football. He has been for almost a decade now. Like, this is a guy who at one point had 22 and a half sacks. And I understand he's not exactly the same player he was then.
Yeah, what year was that?
I want to say that was 4 years ago. I'll pull it back up. But he had 11 and a half sacks last year. This isn't a guy who has like completely fallen off. He's not a nobody. He had 11 and a half sacks in 17 games. He had 19 the year before that.
He had 22 and a half in 2021.
Yeah, 4 years ago. Yeah. So he's had his last five seasons, 15, 22 and a half, 5.5 in only 10 games because of injury, 19, 11 and a half. Like, if you get TJ Watt, you're guaranteeing yourself double-digit sacks, probably closer to that 15 number.
It would certainly, I think of everything going back to Drake May, and I feel like, again, just the more that you can bolster your defense is going to alleviate the
100%
the learning curve that the entire offense is going to be on for the first third of this season. I'm just anticipating that. I know there used to be a time with Bill Belichick where he'd be like, first month of the season doesn't matter. We're figuring it out. It's an extension
so
of training
now.
Camp. You can't do that anymore, but it also might be a little bit of a reality of the offense that it's going to take a while for all these guys to click together.
100%. And I also think, too, there's one thing that started to really kind of, I think, trick a lot of the nerd community is how much sacks impact drives in the NFL. Like, it's just, like, if you get a sack at any point in the drive is almost dead. Like, immediately. Yet nowadays, like, sacks are so valuable, I think, in the NFL, and it hasn't really kind of caught up to mainstream media, I feel, personally. And so for me...
the lamestream media hasn't caught on to the sacks.
Yeah, the mainstream media hasn't caught on to how impactful sacks have become in the NFL.
Do you have a stat name for this? Is there a formula that has been worked out that can demonstrate that there needs to be like a DVOA version of this?
Yes, there's nerds who are far nerdier than I am who work with these numbers, who have exact numbers, and I can.
But it needs a cool title so that we can reference this.
Yes, you're 100% right. It's like sack to failure rate, but with a cooler
sack
name.
Sack to failure. All right.
Yeah. So
sack fail.
Failure. No,
failure.
That doesn't work.
Or we'll work on this.
Okay, yeah, we'll workshop this. But regardless, like I think that sacks are becoming more and more valuable with how much quarterbacks are running, how efficient quarterbacks have become on third and fourth down in short yardage situations. I mean, you look at the Philadelphia Eagles, right? If you're sacking Jalen Hurts on second down so that it's now, or on first down so that it's now second and 14 instead of it being second and 8 or second and 6, your success rate skyrockets because there's a far less likely opportunity that he's going to get a third and 1 or a fourth and 1 and automatically convert.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think that part has always been obvious. I wonder if there's, in a weird way, if there's like a psychological component to it too, where it's like the confidence is knocked out of you.
I bet there is. And I also think too, with the increase in rushing the football, that sacks again have become more important because when you get that sack on first down, it takes kind of running the football out of the picture. You now have to throw, and you're forcing quarterbacks into situations they don't want to be in. And it's much more predictable for the defense in those situations. And so I just think having more pass rushers on this defense, especially one at an elite level like TJ Watt, is just so valuable. You may be better off, to be completely candid, going for a guy like Trey Hendrickson just because it's going to be cheaper than TJ Watt, but either one of them, I would be knocking on the door.
Cheaper you're talking about by trade price or
both?
By salary? Because I don't care about the salary. You have $60 million. You could give Terry McLaurin $30 million this year and you'd still have 30, you'd still be a top 10 again in terms of cap space for this team.
Yeah, you're talking, I think the difference is with TJ Watt, you have to trade like a first and a second day pick. So late second, early third, or with Trey Hendrickson, it's just one pick. I think it's like a first round pick, maybe even, you might even be able to get away. Like if you just want to do a second and a fourth, that might get it done for Trey Hendrickson. Whereas you would absolutely have to trade the first for TJ Watt. That's the kind of price difference I think I see.
Can we get into your unpopular Drake May expectation?
Yeah, let's do that next. 617-779-7937. Mego and Shime here, filling in for the Greg Hill Show on this 4th of July. What are your expectations for Drake May heading into the 2025 NFL season? We'll do that next here on Boston Sports Original W.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
UEI. Mego and Shime here filling in for the Greg Hill Show on a 4th of July Friday. Been talking a little Drake May, the New England Patriots here. And I was accosted the last couple weeks over my position on where I think Drake May should finish stat-wise at the end of the 2025 season, Mega.
Give me the stats. So, I'll evaluate.
So here's where I was at. Okay. I feel like Drake May at the end of the season needs to be at about just over 3,800 yards, more than 20 touchdowns, so 21 or more, 12 or less interceptions. On top of that, you add in like 400 to 500 yards rushing and about 5 rushing touchdowns.
I don't think that's ridiculous.
Okay,
who's accosting you about this?
Ken Laird has accosted me about this. Chris Curtis thinks I'm a fraud.
Wait. What do they think that's too high? Or
no,
do they
think
that's
it's too low. They think it's way too low and that it needs to be way higher because Ken went and cited all of these second-year quarterback stats and passing touchdown numbers, and his immediate go-tos were like Lamar Jackson had 36, Joe Burrow had a bunch, Patrick Mahomes had 50.
Talking touchdowns?
Yep.
Okay, so for example, this would put him very much in the ballpark of these numbers from last year, 3870. In terms of passing yards, so yep. About 3,800. 7.7 yards per attempt, which feels very Drake May-ish.
I think that number needs to be bigger.
You think
honest.
It needs to be bigger? Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm curious when you find out who this is, what you think.
Okay.
Almost 66 completion rate.
That would be awesome.
23 touchdowns.
Okay.
He's not going to do this. 3 interceptions.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're talking about Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
Yeah. I knew him as soon as you got to the 3 interceptions.
Like,
oh,
are
yeah,
we
going to
be mad if he has last Justin Herbert's last year's numbers.
No. So I had brought this up to Lyons too, and Lyons didn't seem to really care either way. His thing was he just cares about the interceptions number.
Okay.
If you get 3 interceptions out of Drake May this year in 17 games, you've done something beyond correct. Like, that is as good as it gets. That's better than, like, the best possible outcome. There's no planet in which Drake May only throws 3 interceptions this season. It just won't happen. That's not who he is.
No.
He's more of a gunslinger than Justin Herbert is, and his head coach also is in Jim Harbaugh.
So I'm guessing, was Ken Laird citing a lot of, like, I would say, like, Joe Burrow, Justin
Herbert?
Yeah,
he was citing guys like Joe Burrow, even Justin Herbert in his second year, I want to say, had into the 30s in terms of touchdowns. Like, I don't understand what people expect, because a lot of the guys that he mentioned in their second year were all guys on playoff football teams. Like, Patrick Mahomes, in his second full year, his first year as a starter, second full year, was on a Kansas City Chiefs team that was in the playoffs the year before. And Mahomes has to be an outlier. It's Patrick bleeping Mahomes.
Right.
So it's hard to even consider him. But then you look at a guy like Lamar Jackson. In his first season, he went to the playoffs and he only played 8 games. And then in his second season, he won the MVP, leading the league with 36 touchdowns.
I think this is where you get yourself into trouble.
Yeah. And
let me give you these stats. Okay.
Okay. I'm listening.
We'll call this player A.
Yep.
As we used to like to do with Jason Tatum when he was active and not rehabbing his Achilles. 3801. I'm wondering if you already know who I'm saying. 22 touchdowns.
Mac Jones.
13 interceptions. 2021
yep.
Mac Jones.
Yep.
So you want him to be 2021 Mac Jones. That would be okay
with
you?
500 yards rushing and 5 more passing or rushing touchdowns? Yes.
Yeah, I think that's fair to add in the rushing, actually.
It's his first year with Josh McDaniels, so he's in a brand new system. And, oh, lest us not forget, this team won four games last year.
They
one of
really
which you,
won three.
Yeah.
There were a 3-win team from last year. Stop saying there are 4-win
sure,
team. They're a 3-win team.
You're making my point.
They're 3-plus dumb win.
Yes. It was 3 wins last year, and Drake May had really technically one of them. And it was a game that they sacked Caleb Williams like 10 times. So I just... And then on top of that, this offense didn't improve all that much. Like, this offense got slightly better on the offensive line, but there's still question marks. You don't know who your left guard is. We don't know if Will Campbell can play 17 games at left tackle. We don't know if Morgan Moses can last for 17 games at right tackle. And we technically don't even know who the center is going to be. You assume it's going to be Garrett Bradbury, but you're not even 100% sure. So the offensive line is still a massive question mark. You added Stephon Diggs to the receiving core, but you don't know when he's going to start the season or how good he's going to be coming off a torn ACL. And I like Kyle Williams, but like, he's a rookie. You can't expect a rookie wide receiver to have a ton of success until the second half of his rookie season. That's when they tend to pop off a little
so,
bit more.
So, Shime, right now I think you're giving a lot of excuses, to be honest. And
I think you should just
pull back away from that, because that's where you're going to get more accusations of fraudulent low standard that you're setting for Drake
May. Okay.
Here's what I'd say. You need to focus on the ratio from yards and touchdowns to interceptions. That's
100%.
All that matters with this kid.
Yeah, I totally agree.
So if he has 12 interceptions, then I'm fine with 3,800 passing yards and what was your touchdowns?
21 or more.
But if he's got 20 interceptions, those other numbers
better go way up. But yeah.
Because you're asking him to be a human eraser. Maybe sometimes those interceptions are on stupid, you know, you got, I don't know, butterfingers out there that are giving it up to their corner or something. Like, that's possible.
Sure.
But we need then him to be the human eraser who is so productive that you can accept the mistakes in that Josh Allen mold.
I totally agree. But I think the other thing too is under that circumstance, that means he's passing a ton.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
Okay, so then throw the rushing yards up too.
Yeah, yeah. My thought is that just like this team, this Patriots team is going to want to win on defense and not turning the football over.
Mm.
That's how they want to win football games. That's why they invested the majority of their money in the offseason on defense. They're going to run the football. They're going to possess the ball, and they're going to get turnovers on defense and not turn it over on
offense.
See,
I think that they invested overly on defense because that's just what they know and because that's where Vrabel's connections are. And I know that it's that.
But they could have invested in
but...
DK Metcalf for like it's just $30 million, and he's one of the best receivers in football. Like, yeah, and they chose not to.
Didn't they say that he didn't really like fit into the type of guy, the Boy Scouts that they were bringing in? And then
you don't need to fit in.
He wasn't a boat guy. You know, he didn't know how to party on a boat.
Yeah, he didn't like pink cocaine.
Oh, now you're calling it that.
No, I'm just okay. That's what everybody else calls
okay. I thought last time we talked about this, you said it was a Bic lighter.
Yeah, it was. It was. We did the research. No, but like, they made minimal to like no effort to really improve the offense.
I don't think that's true. I think they made effort.
They made
minimal
effort.
I think it's yet to be determined how much progress they've made.
Okay,
look,
fine.
They took a couple of high draft picks. On the offensive side, you can say that they focused the draft a lot on their offense. They brought in Steph Diggs. So those are major bonuses those are major additions right there.
I guess, but they also focused their draft on offense the year before, and that didn't go so well. It's just
when you say that they're making no effort, they're making effort. It's just a matter
not
of
a good
how
effort.
Much, it's a but, matter of how so, much progress they're
I guess
actually
my,
making.
My point with effort is more so money. Like, they did not invest a lot of money in their offense at all this offseason.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of fair.
And so I think expecting Drake May to make some kind of leap on a 3-win team the year before to being like an MVP candidate is a little outrageous.
He's certainly not going to be an
so
MVP
just,
candidate.
So just for rankings purposes, right, if he was to have 21 touchdowns this season, that would put him tied for 13th in the NFL, according to this past year. In terms of yards, 3,800 would put him 12th. That's you want him to be.
That feels like very high and achievable for him.
Yeah, 100%. You can't, if you expect him to throw for 30 touchdowns, that means you're going to have him in the top 7 in the NFL.
Some people are just really ridiculous these expectations.
But these people also believe that the Patriots are going to win 10 or 11 games this year, which is insane.
Ridiculous.
Thank you.
In my book, I'll just say this properly. Because I feel like we haven't talked about this in a while. They're just between a 7 and 9 win team.
Yes.
Like they could very, very realistically be a 6 win team.
Yep.
And text line says what happens if they win 6, if they only win 6, does Vrabel get fired?
No.
I don't think Vrabel gets
fired.
6
is an improvement. Like I look at it as
because you're basically going from 3.
Yeah, you're doubling
to
your
6.
Win. So my thought is you want to double your win total from the year before.
Okay.
You want to get to 8. The goal is to get to 8.
How about quadruple and you get to 12?
Yeah.
Although it'd actually be tripling.
What do you think is if you had to pick what is more likely that they win 12 games or 4 games?
4.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Like that's
but
what
that's
I'm,
just
that's
because
I'm
it's
saying.
Easier to lose.
They just like looks at the schedule as well and is just like writing off wins. And the Raiders are going to be better. That opening day game is not an easy like a walk in the park. Geno Smith lit your ass up last year.
Yeah,
and
he had like one of the best games of his.
And
of
it's
his
Pete Carroll, and they have Ashton Jeanty. Like that's going to be a tough game. Miami, I don't like Miami, but in Miami is never an easy game. Then you get Pittsburgh, who. Honestly, could go either way. I think they're going to suck just because I don't like Aaron Rodgers.
I think they're going to be atrocious.
Yeah, and that may be the case, but that may be your first win of the season in week 3. Then you get Carolina, who you should probably beat because you're at home. Then you get Buffalo. You're going to get stomped. Then you get the Saints and the Titans, okay, and the Browns. Okay, there's your cupcake portion of the schedule, 3 weeks. Then you get the Falcons, who are going to be a really competitive football team. People are just writing out the Falcons like, oh, yep, automatic win for the Patriots. And then you get Tampa Bay, who's going to probably beat you. And then you get the Jets, and it's a division game. Division games can go either way. I think the Jets are going to be decent. I don't think the Jets are going to suck.
I'm done giving the Jets the benefit of the doubt.
That's fine. Losing Aaron Rodgers is good for them. But then you get Cincinnati, the Giants who suck, Buffalo, Baltimore, finish the season with the Jets and the Dolphins.
All right, let's do more football talk on the other side. I will leave you with this from the text line.
Makes me so mad.
May is more likely to throw 3 interceptions in the first game of the year than 3 all season.
Fact, not a
fair.
Opinion.
Fair.
100% agree. I'm the biggest Drake May fan there is, and I totally agree with that text. 617-779-7937. Mego and Scheim here, filling in for the Greg Hill Show. More football talk is on the way.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent.
That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.